Shabbat shalom. Did you follow the Rick Sanchez story this week? It's the case of this well-respected media personality, host of Rick's List, two-hour CNN news program. It's in the afternoon, so those of you who have other things to do in the afternoon, you may not follow it. He was fired by CNN because of comments he made about comedian Jon Stewart and Stewart's Jewish background. He called Stewart a bigot, which is probably not the reason he got fired. And he then went on to say that CNN and all the other networks are run by the Jews. I'm telling you, he said, CNN is a lot like Stewart, and a lot of people who run all of the other networks are a lot like Stewart. And to imply that somehow they, the people in this country who are Jewish, are an oppressed minority, yeah, right. And that's what got him fired. Why always the Jews? I understand that the world of television journalism is a competitive world. I understand that comedians can be scathing in their attention to someone, and that's what they do. You know, that's their whole shtick, to attack other people. I understand that Jon Stewart especially can be extraordinarily cutting in his observations day after day, and if you're the subject of that, it might seem like Chinese water torture. And therefore, I understand why Rick Sanchez would have pent-up anger for Jon Stewart. Perhaps I might even have been able to write off Sanchez's characterization of Jon Stewart as a bigot as just part of the parry and thrusts of public personalities whose egos and competitive natures sometimes get the best of them. Who cares in the end? It's just celebrities who play out their ego thing in public. But why attack the Jews? Why always the Jews? You don't like Jon Stewart? Attack Jon Stewart. Why the Jews? From time to time, someone says something about the Jews that just takes your breath away, because it is so unexpected. It's as if there's some bubbling volcano of resentment, hatred, or animus against the Jews that is impossible to contain. And sooner or later, in some unguarded moment, it explodes, spewing a river of molten and toxic prejudice. Who ever thought of Rick Sanchez as an authority on the Jews? Who would have even made the connection between Rick's List and Rick's listlessness? Remember Helen Thomas, the dean of the White House press corps, who in her 90th year let slip her feelings to a rabbi who happened to bring his synagogue youth group to Washington, D.C., and happened to run into her and ask her about Israel, and she said, all the Jews should just pick up and leave Palestine and go back to Europe or America or wherever. Where did that come from? From what dark place did this beast emerge? Why the Jews? Why always the Jews? When I was in high school in Israel, the history departments would teach anti-Semitism as a disease that couldn't be eradicated. We were taught that hatred of Jews is irrational, a sickness that is transmitted from one generation to another. Anti-Semites would pick up hatred of Jews through their mother's milk, the instructor said. And I accepted that. That's what we were taught. Until I went to university and delved into the great rationalist thinkers of modern times. They believe that reason can solve anything. Most people are reasonable at their core. And if there is a misunderstanding, it is because of lack of information. And so for the next period of my life, the guiding principle was that ignorance is the problem, lack of knowledge is the problem, illiteracy is the problem, lack of exposure to others is the problem. Now, looking back at the last 35 years, I have much more sympathy with my high school teachers. What a deep and baffling mystery is this phenomenon of anti-Semitism. Helen Thomas and Rick Sanchez, they're not uneducated. They're not oblivious to the facts. They're not ignorant of current events. To the contrary, they make the news. They present the news. They deliver the facts. Fair and balanced. Didn't I hear that? Well, that's the other guys. They're worldwide leaders in news, the best political team in television. But as Jonathan Swift wrote, you cannot reason someone out of something that they haven't reasoned themselves into in the first place. The Rick Sanchez affair is, on the one hand, a minor blip. We will not remember it a year from now unless Jon Stewart reminds us time after time. But it is representative of a much more depressing reality. This disease is not eradicated anywhere in the world, including in the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's not the result of illiteracy or the consequence of ignorance. Surely Rick Sanchez knows that none of the executives at the news departments of CNN, Fox, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, or NBC News are Jewish? And even if they are, so what? Does that imply some kind of Jewish conspiracy? It's depressing because we see further evidence of how difficult it is to eradicate this disease. It always mutates. It always adapts to the times. It seeks respectability. If you get fired, it's because you make an anti-Semitic remark. But if you are only anti-Zionist, it's the fashion of the times. How perfectly sophisticated and tuned with high culture and soft prejudice. It's the kind of thing they like at the academia of Cambridge University and Oxford University and Berkeley. I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm only anti-Zionist. If Jews live by their separate traditions, they are the other. If they assimilate, it's even worse. Those Jews are hiding in plain sight. Darn Jews, always the enemy, always conspiring against us, always the reason for my own failure. It can't be me, it's gotta be them. In this week's Torah portion, we read of the well-known passage of the Tower of Babel. Somewhere in Babylonia, people got together to build a tower with its top in the sky. Come, let us make a name for ourselves, they said. They built the tower, but God destroyed it and scattered the people throughout the whole earth. And when they scattered from one place to the other, they spoke so many different languages that no one could understand each other. People often confuse the real intent of this passage. They assume that it is about our propensity to overreach and to try to seize powers that are beyond our reach. This then brought forth God's response of destroying the tower. But the key thought is not in the height of the tower. The key idea is expressed in the first verse of the story. Vayihi chol ha'aretz safa achat udvarim achadim. And all of the people spoke the same language and the same words. People's natural tendency is towards uniformity. We yearn to be the same as others, not different. Those who stand out as different, they get picked on, they get bullied, they get singled out, they get teased, they get hated. The builders of the tower wanted to sustain a uniformity of culture, language, and territory. They were afraid of differences. The tower was their effort to prevent being scattered around the world. That was their transgression. And that's why God stopped them and scattered them around the world, confusing their speech. Unity is a worthy goal, but not uniformity. Uniformity is contrary to human nature. We are not made to be the same. God does not desire sameness. God glories in differences, different territories, different cultures, different languages, different orientations. The world is immeasurably better because the Jews exist as a separate entity. The world is immeasurably better because of the differences between people. And thus the real lesson of the Tower of Babel passage is that we must work to tolerate and even glory in our differences. We need to make space for otherness. I've been thinking of Tyler Clementi all week. He was the Rutgers student who jumped to his death from the GW Bridge because his roommates and colleagues surreptitiously filmed and distributed a tape of his sexual contact with a gay partner. At times, our world is such a gloomy place. We are tempted to turn our backs on the whole darn enterprise. But we cannot, because this is our time. This is our world. And this world is our responsibility. Jews especially. We come from a tradition that hates oppression, hates injustice, hates homophobia, and hates xenophobia. We hate intolerance and racism because we have experienced these firsthand. The Bible tells us that the whole reason for the slavery in Egypt was to teach us to be more tolerant of others, to feel their pain, to empathize and sympathize with the other, and to rejoice in human differences. Jewish tradition describes how the builders constructed the Tower of Babel. As the tower rose to enormous heights, they built a steep ascent and a steep descent. If one of the laborers fell and died on the way up or on the way down, no one paid any heed. But if a brick fell, all of the builders would sit down and weep. Woe is us. When will another brick come in its stead? According to our tradition, they cared more about the bricks than about the workers. They cared more about the tower than the people. They were indifferent to human suffering. They were indifferent to human difference. All individuality, all difference was devoured by the machine of human conformity. We must be careful about what we think. We must train ourselves for tolerance and to uphold the inherent sanctity of the other. And to the extent that we harbor intolerant thoughts within us, and all of us do, we should struggle to suppress the public articulation of this intolerance. We should struggle to suppress hate speech and intolerant speech. There is a difference between harboring intolerant thoughts and expressing intolerant thoughts. In the Bible, God zeroes in on the speech. God confounds the speech of the tower generation. There is enormous power in speech. The words of the Proverbs, there is death and life in the power of the tongue. Amen. Amen.